This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. This is Joy 94.9. You're on the Escape Hour, and it is one of our Christmas editions, Christmas New Year. Who can believe it's here?
Crazy.
Ho, 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 ho. And we've got another ho in the office today. I'd like to introduce you to Tad Lombardo.
Hello.
Welcome back from holidays,
Thank
Tad.
You.
Where have you been?
I've been to Dubai, Beijing.
Fabulous.
Yep. And then Port Douglas.
Wow.
You had a bit of everything in there.
I did, yeah. It was really good, actually.
Yeah, you did have a bit of everything in there. Yep. Middle East, Asia.
Winter, summer.
How fabulous.
Yeah. And you climbed the Great Wall.
I did the Great Wall, absolutely.
No, you don't actually climb it, you walk it.
You walk it.
You walk the Great Wall.
I think people have said if you climbed it.
It can be quite steep in some parts.
It is, yeah. And that's always been like a dream of mine to go there because it's one of the natural wonders of the world.
Absolutely.
The only thing is that's man-made and you can actually see it from space.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We got really lucky with the weather. I mean, it was cold, but the, you know, clear blue skies, which is quite unusual, and it was absolutely stunning.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
We're coming back to you in a moment because we want to hear all about your holiday. Oh, the other gorgeous person on the panel today is the lovely Fiona Brooke. How are you, Fee?
Very, very, very well. Thanks, Russ.
You're looking very Christmassy today. How are you? What have you been up to? How was your Christmas party?
My Christmas party? I think our Christmas party, my staff Christmas party went for, I think, 10 hours.
I heard it was an all-nighter.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't an all-nighter. It was an all-afternooner into the eveninger and it was really, it was very, very, very fun.
Back at work the next day.
Back at work the next day, everyone was allowed to be dusty. That was fine.
That's good.
You're a good boss, aren't you?
I'm a really good boss. I'm a very nice boss. And then last week I tried to take, this week just gone, I kind of tried to take the week off.
Yep.
Well, that didn't really work out. I tried to take the week off, ended up going to one meeting every morning and then answering phone calls and then... all I could do was get in a couple of massages to make it feel like it was a week off. But
and where do you have massages in Melbourne? Not that, I mean, I'm always looking out for a great place to have a massage.
Well, yesterday I experienced for the first time, a kahuna massage.
Oh, wow. Is that Hawaiian?
It is Hawaiian.
Wow.
A woman I know has a studio in Northcote, and it was 90 minutes of really fantastic, fantastic massage with Hawaiian music in the background. And wow, it just made me want to go back to Hawaii again.
Was she surfing on the back on your back or something, and you know, doing a hang ten?
Just think, lomi lomi salmon.
Yeah.
You know, I love lomi lomi salmon, and then you have lomi lomi massage.
I think massage. I've got one booked at 3 o'clock today. Actually,
have you? I'll have to get your heads up because I do need a massage.
Well, Elite Male Massage is my friend Oscar runs it.
Oh yes, I do. I do know.
He's incredible. And
what sort of massage is that?
Remedial sports, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Look, relaxation.
I would have to say that to any listener, of course, if you can't afford to get on a plane or get on a bus or a train, have a massage.
Well,
that's
seriously
a very good escape.
That's right. And this is the Escape Hour. Now, we are your food and travel show, and we're going to be talking about travel experiences in 2017. Mm-hmm. But before we go, we have a new member.
We do.
We have a new member. That's amazing.
It's incredible. This is just
Someone gave themselves a Christmas
That's
present.
Amazing.
Who is it?
Let me just have a look here. It's on the computer and it's facing me right in the face here.
Here we go.
But there we go.
It's Mark from Newport. Thank you,
Mark.
That's Congratulations, awesome. Mark. We love the fact that you're now a member of the Joy family. It's absolutely wonderful to have you on board. And if everybody else is thinking about joining the Joy family, we highly encourage you to become a member of this wonderful team here. Our community is here for you this Christmas. And if you need us, please give us a call and say hello. Yeah. This is the Escape Hour.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is our end of year travel show, and we'd like to hear from you as to where your most exotic and exciting place that you've been to in 2017. How can the listeners contact us today, Fiona?
They can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949. They can phone the front desk, and I'm not sure. I don't think Neil's out there today, but speak to whoever picks up the phone, 1-300-JOY-949, or email us in studio on air at joy.org.au.
So we'd love to hear from you about where your most exotic trip has been in 2017. And to start us off, we've got the lovely, luscious Tad Lombardo, who's going to tell us all about his recent trip to Dubai, Beijing and Port Douglas.
Yeah, which kind of seems like a strange roundabout way to do it, but it was just it worked out. And you know, Dubai is always a place that you tend to sort of travel through as opposed to actually stopping and having a look around. And that was the first stop on the little quick trip, and it was amazing. Did the camel ride, did the sand dunes and the four-wheel drive, which is a lot of fun. The highlight was, you know, getting in the actual the chic outfits and riding camels in the
desert. Oh, how fantastic.
It was good. It was really cool.
So that was more of a highlight than shopping?
No, shopping was a pretty big highlight.
Yeah, I could see you being a bit of a Lawrence of Arabia. Yeah,
for a little bit. And but, yeah, so one day, you know, was spent 14 hours in the Mall of Dubai, which isn't hard to do.
14 hours in the mall.
And are there bargains to be had?
There are. There really are. There certainly are. And, it was just a lot of fun. And you get a lot of – you see a lot of products that we don't get here in Australia. Mm, a lot of the designer stuff. So it's – and if you're into that, it's a bit fun.
When you were on the camel ride, where did you ride to?
Oh, look, it wasn't very far. Okay. Let's sort of do this bit of a roundabout thing. And that's fine because it's rough riding a camel. If you've ever
I've been on a camel
before.
Once.
You know the worst thing I reckon is about when they stand up because your whole body
going over.
Your whole body goes forward and then back and it's,
and they don't tell you. They don't tell you to hold on.
No, they don't. No,
oh
they
well, don't. I mean, I was just going to hold on anyway. I mean, if you didn't, you'd
no, but
be crazy.
I mean, to hold on is you know, like it's just you're really even when you're holding on, you feel like you're going to flip.
I don't know anyone that doesn't clutch their pearls when they're getting on a camel.
Well, that was another concern I had. do you know what I mean? And so that everything worked out in that department. But and then it was just losing your sandals, you know.
Like oh, right, okay.
If you don't have the ones that go around the heel, if the slip-on ones, you risk losing them.
Okay, well, I'm glad you had a good guide then.
Yeah, we did have a good guide.
So tell me, I, you know, travel agent, have no desire, have never had any desire to go to Dubai, but you're saying quite the opposite, that it's worth
it.
A stopover and you should go and see it. Yep.
3 or 4 days at the most. You know, I wouldn't spend 2 weeks there, unless you've got family or something there, obviously. Mm. But no, I really enjoyed it. And there's, you know, nice restaurants. And this time of year is perfect. It was about 27, 30 degrees. So
lovely.
It was that intense heat. Mm. So it was good. It was really good from that point of view. And a nice nice quick flight of 14 hours, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So direct, obviously. Yeah.
Direct, yep. And it was really
Who
really
did you
enjoyable.
Fly with?
Our national carrier.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
And tell me, what else do you do when you're in Dubai? I mean, isn't there sort of like artificial snowfields that you can ride?
Well, you can do that. Didn't do that, you know. It was sort of the intention was to do the camel and the sand dune thing and shop and pool day.
A pool day.
Yeah, yep. a pool day. So
and your hotel was glorious.
Hotel was amazing. Yeah.
We know you would have stayed somewhere glamorous, but just out of curiosity, and we always like to let our listeners know this, from a homosexual point of view, going to Dubai, there's very strict rules there. I understand. Yes,
there are. But you know what? It was interesting because, and you notice this straight away, there were a lot of straight Arab men holding hands walking down the street.
Right, okay, and that's part of the Arabic
exactly, or
Muslim way, isn't
that's
it?
Right, and it seemed, you know, as though the wrong impression is that homosexuality was okay, you know, because if you didn't know that, you would assume that there were two gay men walking hand in hand. But I never felt any, you know, issue with being gay. I didn't wear a sign on my back, obviously.
Yes.
But there was never any problems with the hotels or anything. There was really... It was really lovely.
And Dubai
really nice.
Gets this bad rap, and I think it's obviously they have laws there, and you know, we don't always hear the full side of the story. We hear the Westerner side of the story, where I only did this, but you know, fair
but I think
enough.
I think on that Western side, they're saying they only did this, but there's probably a little bit more involved than just that, you know. And I think if you show respect, they show respect, and I do think there is a little bit of leniency probably applied to Westerners traveling there, and But again, you know, if you're just street smart and respect the rules and things like that, you're not going to have a problem. And I never felt an issue at all whatsoever. I didn't think twice about it.
And a huge expat population there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But it was just, yeah, it was just a fun place. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, it maybe not be a place I'd go back straight away until I need to do some more shopping or something. But no, it was really good. It was really enjoyable. And
yeah, I can imagine using it as a couple of day stopover.
Yeah, and it was good. And the time change isn't so bad where you felt jet lagged when you were there, and at least I didn't. It was a good sort of, I'm glad I did it. And we'll do it again for sure.
And from there on to Beijing.
Yeah. And stayed at the most amazing hotel in Beijing.
You got around.
I did. Yeah. I stayed at the Peninsula Hotel in Beijing, which is incredible. And I'd been to China many times before for work, but never for a holiday. So this was sort of the first kind of holiday. It was only there for a few days, but still, it was absolutely incredible. And then, again, there's some shopping in Beijing you can do. The food is amazing. But the highlight of that was the Great Wall of China.
Look, from a tourist perspective, you can't go wrong there. You're just going to go to China and see things you have never seen in your life. And as you say, the Great Wall, which is, you just have no idea. It's like the pyramids. How did they do this?
It's amazing. Yeah. And we actually, because it's the winter in Beijing, we actually had a private guide take us to the Great Wall. So you might pay a little bit more, but...
Did you go to the touristy one, or did you go... With the private guide, you can often go to another...
To another one. We didn't have time, because it's about an hour and a half drive out of Beijing to get to that first point. And because there wasn't going to be a lot of people there, we were fine with going to that one. But it was really good, to go and have a sort of one-on-one experience like that. If you can afford that, it was good.
And how much time did you spend walking on the wall?
Well, that's the thing. We were allowed to spend as much time as we wanted. Mm. So by the time we had all our photos that we wanted and you know, sort of got the vibe of how it was and you know, we sort of said, yep, we're ready to go, and went and had lunch. So I probably spent all up... maybe half a day there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Lovely.
But it is spectacular.
Oh, it's incredible. Like, you're just in awe. I mean, this is something that we all know about and you know, have heard about or studied about, and to actually be there and to experience it is quite fascinating.
Some parts of it are quite steep too, isn't it?
They are, absolutely. Definitely. And you think back to the days when it was actually, you know, built. You wonder, how the hell did they do this? You know?
Like so many monuments around the world,
you're
just sort of gobsmacked by the fact that the human ingenuity, slavery, and all that sort of thing that created and built those magnificent and constructions.
The intention of the wall initially was to keep the Mongolians out of China.
Not the rabbits.
Not the rabbits. No, not at all.
You country girl.
Yeah, exactly. A potential, though, it would probably work. But, you know, and I asked the question, well, how far is Mongolia, you know, from that part of China? And they're like, oh, it's about 2,000 Ks. And I'm like, oh, that's a pretty...
Well,
far away. Those Mongolians, they were very, very intrepid.
Well, they're nomadic as well.
So they had a big range.
Yeah, definitely. So it was just quite fascinating with the history.
Have either of you two been to Mongolia?
No, what's it like?
I've never been either. Ulan Bator.
Well, you know, we keep Ulaanbaatar. Yeah, that's right.
I just like saying
it. Wanting to do it.
Ulaanbaatar.
There you go.
Very good. We keep wanting to do an OB somewhere, but we've got to get it funded, don't we?
I think we just need to get one at a winery outside of the Yarra Valley.
Well,
we can definitely do it.
Tad, you'll come back for that, won't you?
Of course I will.
Have we told our listeners?
No, we haven't. You're having a little rest, aren't you?
I am having a bit of a rest. Yeah, it's been a big year for me, and I'm just going to... rest and travel for the next couple of months.
You're going through a life change, aren't you? It's going to be a very positive life change.
Definitely. It's been a crappy year for me. Yeah. But again, as is the case in most things, you can choose how you handle it. So I've chosen to make the best of it and to make sure that I am 150% and to challenge myself to do things that I never would have done before. So I did that this last trip.
That old saying, life too short. I mean, you've got to get out and enjoy yourself.
And you do. And push yourself. And you know, if you're afraid of doing something, well, then that's a sign that you have to do it.
No, we're not going to pin you down. But how often will we see you on the show in the future? At least once a month, hopefully.
Definitely. For sure. Yeah. And then, you know, once I've... get this out of my system.
We'll have you back.
Yeah,
speaking
he's
of
doing
challenging.
A bit of rambling, isn't he? A little roaming.
Oh, well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, you know what it is.
You know, I would too if I could just...
Jealousy's a curse for you, isn't it?
But you know what it is.
If I didn't have a business to tie me down,
which
I would just be rambling.
I just close mine for that.
Don't we not want to do what he's doing?
No, but you know what it is? Yeah. I think, you know, there's not many times in life you get a second chance at anything.
Yes.
And... this, to me, for me, is a second chance of doing things a little bit differently. So I think you have to seize those moments because they're not going to come.
It's a good lesson for everybody.
You know, we could have a subtitle for the show. It could be the Second Chance Show.
Second Coming?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Before we go on to Ted's next destination, what about visas for China and language?
As far as in China?
Yeah, I know. I know often travellers are a bit cautious about going to places. Yeah. I mean, you didn't go on a guided tour, for example.
Well, that's
right. You guys just took off and thought, well, we're going to go to Beijing.
Exactly.
You
know, yeah. Getting a visa for China is simple, straightforward, and it's easy and it's quick. It's straightforward. So obviously, again, make sure you've got 6 months on your validity on your passport. You have to make sure of that. But it was very simple and straightforward. Once landing in China, the systems are very easy and straightforward and streamlined. Pretty much everybody speaks English, especially since the Beijing Olympics.
Oh, fantastic.
So there was never a problem with language barrier at all. Obviously, the hotels, depending on where you're staying, is pretty simple and pretty easy. The hotel I was at was very close to Tiananmen Square and the Forbidden City. So a lot of those things were in walking distance. But if you're going to need to go get a taxi somewhere, just go to your hotel concierge and ask them to write it out in Chinese so that you can hand that to the taxi driver. You know, please take me to...
I always do that when I'm in Japan. Yeah. And I always take the hotel, the card for the hotel. So that when I get back in the taxi, you just hand them the hotel card and they can take you there.
Definitely. But interestingly enough, I mean, Uber is throughout China.
Right. Oh my God, right.
Which
okay.
is easy.
It's everywhere.
You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, those sorts of systems, you know, the people kind of, sort of have the impression of China being this third world sort of country. And while it is developing, you know, in the cities, it's just like our cities here, really.
Oh, wow.
You know,
probably even more.
Better. Like the phone systems there, I have to say, are. Internet is a lot quicker than what we have here in Australia, but that's the point. But, you know.
You know, when we do come back, I want to actually have a quick chat to you about the most challenging food you might have eaten when you're in China.
That's a good idea.
That's a good one.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is The Escape Hour.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the Featured Providers section within the iTunes Store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
You're on The Escape Hour. This is Joy 94.9. My name's Russ Masterton. You're here with Fiona Brooke and the gorgeous Ted Lombardo. If you've been to a fabulous destination in 2017 and would like us to brag about it on air for you, please send us in a message on onair@joy.org.au.
We do have someone, actually.
Do we?
Yeah.
Where have they been?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Well, this is one of our lovely listeners, Angela, and she said that she was in Ningaloo Reef, and it was totally amazing. Mm. Not only that, but Angela loves Joy. Thanks, Angela.
We love you, Angela.
And also, there's one other component to this message. Speaking of massage, Angela does remedial massage in East Brunswick. 25 years experience.
All right.
Now, she has given us a number. I don't know if I want to give it out over air, but if we have any listeners who are interested in seeing Angela for remedial massage, call the front desk and we will give you Angela's number.
Oh, we love massage.
We love massage.
Now, an hour and a half to my next one.
Oh, you're lucky, man. You are a lucky man.
But we're going to talk about food.
Yes.
We're going to talk about food in China, which is just... I mean, when I lived in New York, I had a friend who was Chinese and we would go to restaurants in Chinatown and there was, you know, bird feet and tongue and all these other sort of strange things.
Fun things.
Fun things, strange things.
Fun for some.
Tell us what you got up to in the food sweepstakes.
Didn't do any of that.
Okay.
But... it's available and you can see it. You know, a lot of the fine local restaurants in China, not just Beijing, but, you know, other cities as well, they have set up on the lower level where they've got the tanks and things like that, which can be a little bit off-putting, you know, from our point of view in the Western world. When you see animals in cages and things like that, it's just, you know, it's not something you want to look at. But the intention is that, you go to those restaurants and you see how fresh the food is. You pick out what you want to eat. So you choose a particular fish or whatever it is, and that's you go upstairs to the dining room, and that is what is served to you, that particular one. So it doesn't get much fresher than that, so, which is a good component to it. But it can be daunting. And you see some strange things as well. One of the things that I did have was a sea cucumber.
I don't think I've ever eaten one.
Yeah, look, the sauce is nice, but you... it is. It really is. That's the winner. That's the hero of the dish. It's very chewy, so you have to, have a strong jawline and that kind of stuff. But
did you start watering with, with joy?
Of course. No, but it's just one of those things where it's like, this is taking a long time to eat, so we'll just put that aside, and then when I was in Port Douglas, we actually saw the sea cucumber, and I'm like, that's what I ate.
Oh, so you were snorkeling and you saw a sea cucumber.
We did. We picked
it up. That's an interesting experience.
They're quite gross looking too.
Yeah, and so you won't be putting that on your new recipe menu.
What else did
you
get up to in food sweeps?
It was a lot of time spent on planes. Traveling from point A to point B, because, from going to Melbourne to Dubai, Beijing, and then the last part of the trip was Beijing back to Sydney, then Melbourne, and then went up to Port Douglas.
Oh, wow.
So a bit of a whirlwind tour. But on one of the airlines that we flew, and it wasn't an Australian airline, I won't mention any names, but, I think we're really spoiled we complain a lot about our airlines, but I think we're pretty spoiled with the level of service that we get in Australia. Mm-hmm. For example, at mealtimes, the flight attendants generally make everybody put their seat front forward so that you can, have your meal and not have a problem with it, especially if you're in economy class where there's not as much room. During this one leg of the flight, this gentleman, which I'll use the term loosely, refused to pull his seat forward. Mm. And the lady sitting behind him, who was next to me, she could not eat her meal. So I just, asked that, would you mind please putting your seat forward for a few minutes so the lady behind you can have her meal? Well, this whole air rage incident, started to unfold. And it got to the point where he's Googling what the rules were and, about that, and then the flight attendant comes back and says, well, no, it's not a rule, it's a courtesy, but, would you please put your seat forward? And he refused to do it. So obviously there's a bit of an interaction between myself.
That would have been truly awful.
Well, it was, but it was just a bit ridiculous, and you have to call out the sorts of bad behavior sometimes.
Whether
you're on a plane or not. But obviously I wasn't going to let it escalate to the point of getting physical or anything, because I didn't want the Beijing police meeting us at the plane on the other end.
No, you're too young to be in jail.
I am. Yeah. Especially.
And those things that they do to you.
I know. I don't think I'd enjoy that. But
no.
I think we should not go in this direction.
No. But
anyway, back to the plane.
So the flight attendant, did the right thing, and she looked like Frida Kahlo, actually. But anyway, that's the whole story.
Frida Kahlo.
Frida Kahlo is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, Frida Kahlo was not even Mexican. She herself is of Spanish. Her parents moved there.
Yeah.
So her parents were Spanish and
Portuguese,
yeah. I think, or we'll have to double check.
All of my cushions at home are of Frida.
Yeah.
On my couches.
Well, she very much adopted, obviously, Mexican tradition and that traditional dress.
Yep. Mm.
Well, not many people in Mexico were dressing like that
at
the time.
No, not at all.
She was living in Mexico City.
Yeah, that's right.
So she was fully immersed.
Yep. But anyway,
we love her nonetheless.
Exactly. And, the flight attendant asked the gentleman, again, term used loosely, if he'd like to move to a seat in business class where he would have more room, and he refused to go.
Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you go to the front? Yeah.
I just cannot understand that.
So did Frida go to the front?
She sort of backed off at that stage.
Yes.
Which is a bit annoying. I thought a bit more support from the crew, actually. But anyway, look, it all worked out fine. And, every time I got up out of my seat, I pulled on his back to help me up, just to, you got to do it,
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing that you didn't sort of like want to give him a bit of an elbow as you were getting off the plane.
We sort of had our eye on him as we were getting off the aircraft, and he couldn't get off quick enough, actually. So,
well, you would be a bit humiliated by that type of behavior when it's just unnecessary.
Oh, it's just
we're all traveling.
That's right.
If you're traveling in economy, it's all fairly unpleasant.
Yeah. Confined space.
And you just need to be respectful.
Yeah, and he wasn't at all. And that's the part I had a problem with. And it was a lady behind him Do you know what I mean? It was just like, come on, show. I mean,
you almost wanted to say to the person in front of him, look, can you just, as an example, put your seat right back while he's trying to eat, just to show, just so you understand how little room this woman's got to eat.
But I think it just goes to the point, too, that, you know, on an aircraft, regardless of what cabin you're in, you know, it's a confined space. Show a little respect, you know, help each other out, you know, just that kind of thing. Anyway, it was one of the highlights of that trip from Dubai to Beijing.
Okay, well, it's good to know you had your flight police hat on and waving your baton around the cabin, so all good.
Yeah, no, bad behaviour's got to be called out. It doesn't matter whether you're on a plane or in a car, you know.
Do it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you returned to sunny Port Douglas.
We did,
I just, you know, overseas say, and then back to Oz.
I know. I have to say, doing that sort of travel too, where you're going from summer to a winter climate, it's tough.
Back to summer.
Well, I mean, from the clothes point of view, you have to have a little bit of everything. Do you know what I mean? You know,
how big was your hat box this time?
Well, we had to buy a second suitcase.
Did you?
Yeah. I had to do that when I was in New York last, and I had to buy a second one now. But, we'll put all the shopping in, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, what... when you shop, are you, a designer girl, or do you just, like, you know...
Have you?
Okay.
Yeah, I got some really nice pieces. I'll have to show you Fiona.
Like, I can't wait.
Yeah, so it's been
good. You know, I think that when you're traveling, of course, part of the fun is buying items of clothing in particular that you can then be complimented on, and then there's always a bit of a story.
And that's
kind of an interesting thing. Although today, in the way that worldwide, there's a lot of the same shops in every capital
city.
There
are, but there's also some that aren't, though. Okay, like, for example, not to mention any names, but this is the report that I'm reporting back on, is like with Versace, okay, there's costume jewelry and there's fine jewelry, okay? No fine jewelry is sold in Australia. It's all costume, okay? So there's only, at the moment, two fine jewelry shops. One is in New York, Milan, and the other one is in Dubai. New York is being built now. Mm. So, you know, that's the only place you can get the fine jewelry, you know, as opposed to the costume stuff that might be plated and that kind of thing. So it's just those sorts of things and sort of certain designs that are only released in certain, you know, demographics, that kind of stuff too, that you can get into. So you can get a few good pieces of things that you save up for, and but then they're timeless, so you have them forever. And you can...
Now, you weren't wedding ring shopping, were you?
No.
Okay. No. Just divorce, thought I'd ask.
The divorce ring.
The divorce.
And I got it, yeah.
Well done, you.
Thank you.
That's right.
I was going to wear it today, but I thought it was a bit flashy for the studio.
Oh, nothing's too flashy for the studio. Come on, we've dropped champagne.
Well, you know, you're just showing us what we do when Fee and I decide to get divorced from our perspective partners. You know, all in due course, as they say. Oh, no.
So in Dubai, they're like, oh, what's the occasion? Oh, it's a divorce ring. And like, oh, we never heard that before. Yeah. Like, well, it's a thing.
And the budget's unlimited.
Exactly.
I used to be a wedding photographer numbers of years ago. Yes. And at one point, people loved cracking the joke. Well, maybe you should get into divorce photography.
What?
And I was like, it doesn't cost much just to tear a photo in two, really.
But you could charge for it, though.
Yeah, I think I could charge.
Just imagine what you could do with that. Yeah. I could
digitally enhance.
Yeah,
slice people out.
Put a tree
out
in there instead or something.
Just hear that.
It's like a tattoo. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of money to be made in the re-tattooing over people's names,
which is why I haven't got one yet.
Well, just don't do names.
No, I'm not. No, you've got to learn that lesson, don't you? Because, I mean, my arm would be, you know, I wouldn't have any room left on my arm with, you know, with that revolving door the way it's been going when I was much younger. I mean, we've all been around.
We have.
You know, we're not all ladies here, are we?
No.
Okay, Fiona's not commenting.
She's not. She's just shaking her head.
That's right. Now, speaking of tattoos, you conquered a fear.
I did.
Now, where did you conquer that fear, though?
Actually, in Cairns, in Port Douglas.
Oh, you got an anchor in Cairns.
I did.
I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but it sounds good.
No, but it was good. And the guy he's a really talented tattoo.
Was he good looking?
Yeah, he was, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it helped with the pain.
Yeah.
But
how much did it hurt?
No, it didn't hurt that much, actually. Honestly, like, you know, it was a needle, but I breathed through it. Do you know what I mean? And you can control it. I think that was the most important thing, you know. And I had another little tattoo done on my arm, which I'll be getting covered over. And I didn't have a good experience with that.
Right.
Because I don't think the tattoo artist was very experienced.
Very good.
Yeah. So, look, there were some moments that it was tender, but it was never to the point of being unbearable. And that took 2 hours to do.
Beautiful tattoo. Maybe describe it for our listeners. It's gorgeous.
It's an anchor. and a metallic anchor with a fair bit of detail, and then a swallow over the middle
it's a reasonable size, I would say. It is. Certainly 5 inches or whatever that is in centimeters.
Ooh, is that reasonable?
It's big, isn't it? That's a big one.
How did you?
Isn't that about average?
You know, I would say it's about average. Yeah. Yeah.
How did you select your tattooist, though?
Well, by the size.
Doesn't everybody?
You know, one of the weirdest partners that I ever had was this guy called Snowy. And okay. We went to Bali once, and Snowy got Bart Simpson tattooed all over his leg.
Really?
In a fit of alcoholism. That's right. You know, he'd had quite a few champagnes, yeah. And then we walked past a tattoo place in Bali, and so he said, "I'm going to get a tattoo," and I thought, "Oh, this is going to be really cool." I like guys with tattoos, and it's going to be really masculine, and it's going to be one that I can proudly say I'm with him, you know. And instead, it was Bart Simpson, and I just
looked. Did you just like want to get on a plane without him and go home?
Well, you know, especially when we're in a tattooist in Bali, and all of this blood is pouring down his leg, and I'm thinking, I don't know about this. You're going to get sick from doing this.
So that's why I wouldn't have done it in a foreign country, you know, just because you need to kind of know about the hygiene.
But isn't that what so many people do? For a lot of people, they go to a foreign country.
They have a few bevies,
and then they get a tat. And I always thought that was really weird because, you know, you're not supposed to get sun on it. Is that right? You're supposed to keep it wrapped in plastic. And if you're at the beach, why do you want to be...
You don't want to get it dirty.
You keep it wrapped in plastic for an hour.
Is it only an hour?
That's, they've changed that.
Yes.
And now it's keeping it out of the sun, but you have to use that stuff that you use on nappy rash. Not that I have a nappy rash, but...
Nappy rash cream?
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
The wild and crazy things you do on holidays, that's what we're talking about today.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. I'm Tad, and with me is Russell and Fiona in the studio, and we are laughing at ourselves in here today.
It's Christmas time.
I know, but we haven't had any drinks. So
I was actually thinking about doing champagne in here again so we could have the pop on air.
Exactly. We'll have to save that. But
So many things that we've wanted to do this year. Remember, you were going to take us on the Gin Palace walk around Melbourne.
We have been talking about that a lot.
I think we need to walk, you know, the radiothon will be coming up.
Yeah.
And then we had the lovely Paul, who was going to do an OB at a winery. He said he would come back for that one.
Definitely, I'll come back for that.
Did you do any wineries when you were up at Port Douglas? I mean, I must say, those Queenslanders must have good food and wine up there.
Yeah, definitely. No, we just did a lot of seafood.
Yes.
It was incredible seafood, which was really good. And that was just sort of a relaxation kind of place. Stayed at the Sheraton Mirage, which was lovely.
Lovely. Mm.
Yep. And that's all been redone now, which was good. And
you don't do things by halves, do you?
No, what's the point?
Exactly right. Yeah. And so did you, you know, sightseeing Cape Tribulation, the Barrier Reef,
Reef. Beautiful. Did it well as far as went to the Outer Reef, which is the furthest part you can go. I'm terrified of ocean water.
Right.
And so we went with, basically chartered a boat with two marine biologists. Mm-hmm. And
That's great.
Yeah, and went snorkeling with one of the marine biologists. And there was no one else around us. It was incredible. And she would take photos of us underwater.
Which
is really cool. Mm. So it's other than 150 photos. And she would, you know, we would see fish and then she would go dive down and take a photo of the fish. And it was a really good experience.
Now tell us with the reef and what you saw of the reef, because there's so much reporting on the bleaching of the reef.
The parts of the reef that we saw looked incredible. Mm, mm. There was some bleaching, and it does happen naturally. Mm. But that area of the reef is still, I guess, in halfway decent shape. Mm. And it also depends, too, on the timing of it as well, because the bleaching happens when they have consecutive days of really hot weather and the warm water comes in. So at that point in time, which was just a couple of weeks ago, it hasn't gotten to that point yet. So there's still a lot of color, you know, the incredible fish, amazing scenery underwater. Mm. And it was just, it was nice to be able to conquer that fear finally. And,
absolutely. And you felt safe.
I did until we got out of the water. And we were sitting on the boat having lunch, which the food was really good too, because it was champagne and food as well.
Wow,
and
that sounds like a fancy boat trip.
It was. And my friend who I was with just says, oh, look, there's a fin. And this is just like after being in the water for about, you know, an hour or so and being told that there are no sharks other than reef sharks, which I did see. And I was kind of swimming over and that sort of stuff. And it was a 4-meter hammerhead shark.
Oh, God.
And, oh, my God.
And I'm just like, hang on a second. You people just said to me that there was no such thing, you know.
And then they push you off the boat back into the water.
Because because there were two marine biologists. They're like, oh, let's get in the dinghy and chase it. Oh. I'm like, okay. Cool. So we did. And then it went out to sea and it was gone. And then we had to get back in the water again because there was this other big fish called Hamish that they wanted us to swim with. Huh? And I was a bit kind of like, do I really want to do this? And I thought, no, I have to do it. So went back in the water again. And that was fine. But I was on guard for that hammerhead shark, seriously.
You would be.
Yeah.
So my question is, what kind of fish was Hamish?
It's big.
Big.
Yeah, he was big. He had his, I'll have to find out the name.
Was he like a sea cucumber?
No, he's bigger than a sea cucumber. he had like a Maori design on him, so he has a Maori name. Yeah, it was incredible. Huge. He got too close to me a few times. I had to flick him in the nose, but harmless though. Just fangs. And
and when you were snorkeling or diving?
Snorkeling, we dived
down. Okay.
Yeah.
And are you guys budgie smuggler swimwear or board shorts?
Stinger season.
Oh, of course it is.
Full wetsuit. And there were new wetsuits because my concern was...
Just trying to create a picture.
Well, no, because you told people to pee in those wetsuits, you know what I mean? Seriously.
That's and not something I think of when I put it
people
on.
People do, though. Yeah. I think they're out in the ocean, it's okay.
Did you get yours sterilized before you put it
ours
on?
Were
no,
brand
you're
new.
A very clean person.
Ours were brand new,
you're
so
a very
I didn't
clean
have to worry
person.
About that.
Yep.
And I didn't pee in mine, so...
Thank God for that.
Because that's just disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting, well, isn't it? Yeah. What a mess. Do you pee in yours, Fee?
Not that I have thought about peeing in
that's
my
good. No, good. But people do it. And that, I asked the marine biologist, I'm like, is that a thing? I'm like, yeah, it does. I smell like pee.
Oh, Ted, we are going to miss you on this show.
No, it's true.
How did we get here?
Well,
yeah, it's certainly not something when I'm thinking about my tropical holiday.
Well, now you will. Because
That's right.
Yeah.
Just when you thought it was safe to in that wetsuit.
Have you ever scuba'd?
I haven't, no. So that might be something I might...
Oh, it's so wonderful. I've only done it a few times. I technically have a certification, but every time I go, I have to do the refresher.
Right.
Yeah,
it's something I would do because I'm quite comfortable snorkeling now and having that thing in my mouth. The snorkel in my mouth and being able to breathe at the same time.
Right you are. How right you are. You need to breathe at the same time you're doing that. Now, listen, you travel a lot. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, we have another message.
Oh, do we? Okay. Yeah. Who have we got messages from?
A friend of yours.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. G'day, Russ. Great show. ? We're not sure.
Who's that from?
It's from Roy Grundle.
Oh, g'day, Roy. How are you today? I hope you're having a lovely time out at beautiful... I do believe Roy lives at Eltham. He's got this beautiful land
and
two gorgeous schnauzer dogs and he lives out there with his partner, Lance. So beautiful.
Well, he wants to tell us about his amazing 10 days based in Ubud. Sheer bliss, staying at a private villa with day trips on scooters. My advice is stay a bit outside of Ubud and avoid the madness. And being a bit of an Ubud regular myself, I would have to concur with that.
Love Ubud.
It is beautiful. You know they have an Ubud food festival these days? In fact, we're going to get on the show one day, Janet Deneff.
Oh.
And Janet Deneff is a Melbourne girl, or I shouldn't say girl, but a Melbourne woman who married a local Balinese gentleman. She has a hotel accommodation space there. She has a restaurant. She's one of the founders of the Ubud Writers Festival, and she's just founded the Ubud Food Festival.
Wow.
That'd be really cool.
And she visits Melbourne regularly, and I know she's going to be here in March.
Well, we'll have her on.
And I've already asked her to come on the show.
Good.
So
well
we
done.
Can talk all about the ways to escape the madding crowd in Ubud, but in 2018. So
that's cool.
Don't forget that.
Good
everyone.
On you. Good on you.
Lining up guests left, right and centre.
That's the way.
You have to.
So 2017, you also went to New York.
I did a couple of times.
Because you come from New York, which we're all very jealous about.
Yeah, no, it's good. So I was there for Christmas then in January and then back again in October, I think.
You two are New York street kids, both, because Fiona, you've lived there.
New York hoes. Mm.
Yeah, you are sure a bunch of hoes from New York. Yeah. And, you know, I bet if anyone wanted the download of New York, I bet we could come straight to you two.
Absolutely.
Well, of course, we had our lovely guests on last week that did a fantastic job talking all about New York because Tad, you know, he worked at the chef.
Yeah.
Al worked at Madison Park. Madison 11 Park.
Now, what, if you were in New York
11
at this
Madison
time,
Park.
If you were in New York at this time of the year, what would your go-to be? Would you be doing ice skating at Rockefeller Center? Or would
if you've never done that before, absolutely. If you've never done it, see the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall. Mm-hmm. The decorations in New York City in Times Square. Stunning.
Oh, my God.
Rockefeller
they really
Center.
Do Christmas really? In New York. Yeah. Yeah. Off the Richter scale.
And it's beautiful. Mm, it's really,
it really
beautiful.
Is.
And, you know, it's cold. And do you know what I mean? So you get that Northern Hemisphere Christmas. If you've never experienced that before, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. And then it makes you realize how much you really do enjoy actually a warm Christmas day.
Well, that's exactly right. Because, I mean, I've been in Australia for almost 22 years now. Mm. And last year when I went home for Christmas was the first time in 22 years because I've really acclimated.
Shock.
Yeah, but I'm always acclimated. I like the warm Christmases. Mm. And you do think about that, the fact that, you know, you're over there in the cold, but you're missing out on the summer here. You know? So I try not to do that. But I did it last year, which was good.
I'm heading to New York next month.
You are? And what are you going to do when you're there?
I'll tell you what, the dream of all homosexual dreams. I am off to see
not just a wet dream. Oh, sorry.
Bette Midler in Hello, Dolly.
That's going to be
wow.
Well, hello, Dolly.
I've heard that is really good.
I can't wait. Yep. I honestly can't wait.
We'll play some of that when you get back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and then you can tell us all about what you did when you were in New York.
If there's one person I've always wanted to see live, it's Bette Midler, and I am just... I'm wetting myself with in anticipation.
And,
you know.
And she's finishing up her stint on that show, isn't she?
And, the 14th of January is her last show.
Right.
Yeah, so it's coming up very quickly. We'll be there on the 6th or 7th of January.
That's good.
We're going to see
her
the week before she finishes up. But I can't wait to see it because friends have been already and they say that you've never been to a show like this because every time Bette comes on stage, everybody stands up and gives her a round of applause and then she sits down, then she sings and everybody stands up and gives her a standing ovation. Yeah. So the show goes for quite long, apparently, because of all of this.
She's such an icon, though.
Oh, isn't she?
She really is.
Yeah, I love her.
Oh, so do I.
Ever since I saw her in The Rose, the movie in 1980, that movie came out, and I thought that she was just amazing.
Absolutely. And aside from her musical talents and her performance skills, I mean, she's just got a great sense of humor.
And she's political too,
and
which I love about her in that nutcase over in New York, the USA. So, it's good.
So it's good. And you'll enjoy it.
I can't wait.
Yeah. What neighborhood are you going to stay at?
Pardon me?
What neighborhood are you staying in?
This time I'm staying at an old tried and true set of hotels, and it's in Midtown. Normally I would stay in help me here.
Lower East Side?
Near Greenwich. Yep.
Christopher Street.
It's got something to do with...
the West Village.
Fire. Oh, what's it called?
Something to do with
you
fire.
You live there.
Something to do with fire. Sounds like...
Fire Island? Fire Island.
Oh, my God. Who's been to Fire Island? Come on down. Hell's Kitchen.
Something to do with fire.
That's right.
That's
I knew we'd get there eventually. What a great idea for a show. Name that tune.
You've got to go to the Cupcake Cafe while you're in Hell's Kitchen.
Cupcake Cafe, okay. Yep. I'm taking tips, so...
But you know what? I mean, I would do that as well, stay in a someplace outside of the main kind of, you know, area. But like when I was back in October, I spent a few nights and I just got a hotel... You know, a few blocks, you know, from Times Square. So you just try to avoid that touristy part. But it was actually really good. You know, like I think there's merit to staying someplace local and close too.
I think the subway system there is so good these days.
Yeah.
That, you know, what you don't need to be, it doesn't matter where you stay on the island. You're only 10, 20 minutes from anything, aren't you, really?
Yeah.
I'd have to stay downtown. I've always been a downtown kind of girl when it comes to New York City.
Oh, I agree. Downtown is
whereabouts downtown? So,
Well, you know, probably the Lower East Side. And that's mostly because when I lived in New York, the Lower East Side was still a no-go zone.
Yeah.
And it has changed so phenomenally that I would probably want to explore that area, which is now so hip or maybe even peak hip.
Yeah.
Is that near Chinatown in Little Italy?
So when I first moved to New York, I lived in Chinatown, but you couldn't really hang out in the Lower East Side back then.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to.
No, a bit dangerous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
My favourite time in New York was the... mid-80s, where Times Square was just a brothel, basically.
Yeah.
And it was really rough and, rough and tumble, wasn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And here's a tip. When it comes to visiting the Metropolitan Museum, which is an incredible must-see, there is actually a suggested door price of, well, when I was there, it was $15. Yeah. I'm sure it's much more now. But in actual fact, it's only a suggested price.
You still
can
is.
Actually go in and just give them a dollar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's an important thing to keep in mind, because the Metropolitan, like so many massive museums, is so huge that trying to attempt to do it in one day
is
ridiculous. So spend less money and go more often.
Yep.
Would be my advice.
I think that's a good idea.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is the escape hour. This is the on-time escape hour. we've been actually very proud of Russ. He's been pushing all the buttons at exactly the right time, which is really good. It means that it's taken us this long to get into all practice.
everyone likes an on-time arrival.
When did the show start? April, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
In April. Right. But it's been a fabulous time, and we've had just a great time hanging out together and cracking up and telling stories, and we've had some really great guests well of just talking all about our own, of course, amazing travels.
Trials and tribulations.
Yeah. We've been to the Camino. We've been all over the place. And next week, I think we are going to Africa with a fantastic story about an Australian woman that lives in Tanzania.
God, how amazing.
And runs a charity in Tanzania. So that's something to listen to for next week.
Have you been to Africa?
No.
No, I haven't either.
No. I've been to Morocco and Egypt, but I haven't been down to the southern countries of Africa. It does count, actually. Yeah. So we've got to do a roundup of what we're all doing for Chrissy, and then it's time for us to farewell. So,
I'm going to regional Victoria this afternoon, a little town called Euroa. That's where my folks live.
That's cool.
Going this afternoon. It's going to be hot. They have a swimming pool, and my dad has a 12 o'clock rule for when it hits 12. Can we have champagne now? It's already 12.
Oh, I like that rule.
I'll be drinking by the time you get there.
Yes.
So that's what I'm
up
to.
That's amazing.
Fantastic. What about you, Ted?
I'm off to Brisbane.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Now, have you got family or relatives or good friends up there?
Close friends,
right?
Yeah. And so it'd be a bit of fun. And then I'm going to spend a bit of time at the Palazzo Versace Hotel on the Gold Coast.
There's no stopping you this year.
Glamorous.
I just had this vibe about you that we're going to have you on the show all in 2018 to talk about your travels and where you've been next.
You just might.
Love it. And
where are you off to? Yeah.
I have family down on the coast, Bellarine Peninsula in Port Arlington.
Lovely. So
my partner is currently in the air. He's coming back from Argentina. Unfortunately, his mum died last week. So he's over and back, and I want him home desperately because I miss him. And then we'll be heading down with my mother to my brother's place, and we'll do the family affair down there. So
that'll be nice.
A little bit of food, and then hopefully a bit of a swim down at Corio Bay, and away we go. So it's going to be good.
The weather should be pretty good from what it looks like.
It looks great, doesn't it? Yeah,
it's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I hope everyone else is going to have a lovely Christmas as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, look, we have had a couple of late messages of people that have called in, let us know. Uluru.
Oh, I love
you.
Uluru. Yeah, nice.
A Bush Tucker dinner and Karajini. I'm not sure what that is.
Karajini.
Karinji.
Karinji. That was Mark from Wollongong. And
thank you, Mark.
Another general message from another listener, Western Australia.
Beautiful.
Stunning.
It is.
Broome.
Big place.
Margaret River. All of those gorgeous places there.
El Questo.
Yeah.
I've never been.
We've got to do a show about El Questo.
Next outside broadcast.
Yep. When you think you've ridden a camel, you haven't ridden a horse until you've been to El Questo.
Yep.
You've got to watch those pearls, don't you? Ted Lombardo, we hope to see you many times in 2018.
It's going
to
happen.
I love it.
Great. Well, Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you for all your input this year. It's been wonderful working with you.
It's always been fun.
It has been good. Fiona Brooke, I can't wait to see you in 18. And you have made me laugh. you make us laugh silly. So you're a good egg to have on this show.
It takes two to tango.
Absolutely.
And so are you.
Oh, it's been fun, hasn't it?
It has been.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.